Breaking news, missionaries taken hostage in Haiti. We've just learned two of those hostages have been released, according to their church. The news tonight on their condition. The pair are among 17 people, almost all of them Americans, including several children kidnapped and held ransom by a notorious street gang. Also tonight, Thanksgiving travel bouncing back close to pre-pandemic levels. Lines of passengers are growing at major airports across our country. The TSA screening a pandemic record of 2.2 million in a single day. Scores of drivers hitting the road, paying the highest gas prices in 7 years. Thanksgiving for some families marking their first in-person gathering in more than a year. Rob Marciano standing by, tracking rain and snow that could impact travel plans. Also tonight, Americans rushing to receive COVID booster shots ahead of the holidays. Parents rolling up their sleeves as their children receive their first shots. The new numbers tonight and what Dr. Anthony Fauci is saying as cases rise in more than 30 states, fueling fears of a winter surge. And the violent protests erupting over new COVID restrictions overseas. Demonstrators setting fires and fighting with police. How officials are responding. The trial for three men accused of murdering Ahmaud Arbery, chased by a truck while jogging down the street. Both sides preparing for closing arguments tomorrow when the case could go to the jury. New images tonight. The Chinese tennis star who disappeared after accusing a former top Communist Party official of sexual assault. Her first public appearance. And the looming question, is she free to make decisions on her own? Plus, the urgent manhunt now underway after chaos at Atlanta's airport. The gunshot that sent passengers running for their lives. What we're learning from police. Tiger Woods, severely injured in that violent car crash, is coming back swinging on the golf course.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on this busy Sunday. I'm Lindsay Davis. We begin tonight with breaking news. Two members of that Christian group kidnapped in Haiti have been freed. Late today, their church, the U.S.-based Christian Aid Ministries, made the announcement on their website but did not give the names of those released. The missionaries, 16 Americans and one Canadian, including children plus their Haitian driver, were abducted by a notorious Haitian gang on October 16th. They were returning after visiting an orphanage. ABC's Janae Norman leads us off tonight.
Tonight, after being held captive for more than a month, two members of an American Christian organization have been freed in Haiti. The Ohio-based Christian Aid Ministry saying in a statement the two hostages who were released are safe, in good spirits, and being cared for. We cannot provide or confirm the names of those released, the reasons for their release, where they're from, or their current location. 15 missionaries still awaiting release. In October, 17 members were kidnapped after they paid a visit to this orphanage outside Port-au-Prince. The violent 400 Mowozo gang accused in the kidnapping demanding $17 million for their release, $1 million per person. Among the hostages, five children, including an eight-month-old baby. It's not clear tonight whether any of the children had been released. A spokesman for the Christian group recently asking for continued prayers.
These families are from communities in Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, Oregon, and Ontario, Canada. We thank him that he is God and ask him to hear our prayers and bring our families home.
Those prayers certainly continue. Janae Norman joins us now. Moments ago, Haitian officials also confirmed the release of two people in that missionary group. Have we learned anything else about their release or condition?
Well, Lindsay, Christian Aid Ministry saying in that statement they're not releasing any information about those two people. And they're asking anyone who is privy to specifics of the release to safeguard those details. And tonight continuing to ask for prayers for those 15 people still being held hostage. Lindsay.
Janae, thank you. Now to our other top story. Millions of Americans getting ready to hit the road, the rails, or the air on their way to a Thanksgiving gathering with loved ones, something that many families did not feel was safe to do last year. The number of travelers is expected to approach pre-pandemic levels, and airports are already seeing increased traffic with many children off from school this week. The TSA reports more than 2 million people were screened both Friday and Saturday. Those numbers are very close to 2019 levels. AAA estimates more than 48 million Americans will travel by car despite the high gas prices. ABC's Phil Lipoff reports from New York.
Tonight, for millions of Americans, the Thanksgiving travel scramble is on.
Being stuck at home until 2020, you know, it was pretty dreadful. But finally, you know, this year come along to where things are actually a lot better.
The TSA says more than 2 million people passed through airport checkpoints Saturday, the number of flyers close to pre-pandemic levels.
So those lines are going to take longer. Add to that lingering staffing shortages, and you have a recipe for long lines and delays.
The vaccination mandate for federal workers taking effect tomorrow, sparking fears of airline and airport staffing shortages. But today, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg confident that holiday travelers will not be impacted.
The deadline tomorrow, that's not a cliff. People aren't getting immediately pulled off of their posts. It's part of a process to make sure that everyone in the federal workforce is safe.
The busiest airports this weekend? Atlanta, Dallas, and Los Angeles. If you plan to drive, you will have plenty of company as well. AAA is expecting more than 48 million people to hit the roads this week.
The gas price right now is ridiculous, so every cent counts.
The national average, $3.41 a gallon. Some of the highest prices in California.
You drive past some gas stations, they're over $5, and it's kind of just like, I'll kind of go up a little bit more and figure out something there.
And when you hit the road is key, too. The worst times to travel, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, according to transportation experts, is late morning to early evening. Best before noon or later in the day.
And best to pack the patients as well. Phil Lipoff joins us now from the West Side Highway here in New York City. Phil, we know that oil prices have already started to come down. How will that affect gas prices over the coming weeks and months?
Well, Lindsay, with oil prices, there's never really a guarantee anything could happen globally. However, transportation experts tell us if oil prices stay where they are today, we could see a reduction of anywhere from 15 to 30 cents a gallon sometime over the next 2 to 4 weeks. Lindsay?
Phil, thank you. And another important factor as millions hit the road is, of course, weather. Let's get straight to ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Lindsay. Good news. We don't have a crippling storm on the docket, but a couple of systems that will impact travel. Here's the first one. The front itself is sliding across Lake Erie down through Pittsburgh and then back across parts of Tennessee. That will push east tonight with some rain, heavy at times, but brief across the I-95 corridor. Then the winds kick up tomorrow and the colder air comes in. Lake effect snows for sure, but look how cold it's going to be by Tuesday morning. Temps will feel like the teens and 20s as far south as Atlanta. Wednesday, big travel day. I think everywhere, the eastern two-thirds of the country, very quiet, but the next system dropping into the Rockies. That will bring some snow there. And by Thursday, it's in Chicago, it's in Little Rock, it's in Dallas, mostly a rain event, but that pushes east and colder air behind that. And another one coming in the Pacific Northwest. All in all, could be worse. Certainly travel safe. Lindsay?
And we got a bundle up there. Rob, thank you. Now to the pandemic and Americans rushing to get their booster shots just days after the CDC gave the green light for all Americans over the age of 18. More than 34 million have already gotten that extra dose. This comes as cases nationwide are on the rise. ABC's Elwin Lopez is in New York tonight.
Tonight, boosters in high demand across the country. Americans racing to roll up their sleeves once again ahead of the holidays after the CDC signed off on boosters for fully vaccinated adults. From Virginia,
I made up my mind that I want to protect myself.
To Wisconsin.
It just made sense for me to get the booster.
Mariel Mearshard getting that extra shot and bringing her three children along for their first.
It's going to be great to get together and all be feeling more confident and secure.
And California.
I just thought it was a wise thing to do. Trying to be careful, but it could not possibly hurt to get a booster.
More than 800,000 people receiving booster shots a day on average. But with temperatures dropping and families gathering for Thanksgiving, officials are sounding the alarm.
We're really worried that as the winter surge comes on in full force between now and Christmas time, that we will be challenged once again.
Studies show booster shots start producing increased antibodies within days. But experts say it could take about 2 weeks to get to peak protection.
If you do it now and you get the booster, you can be ready for the Christmas holidays to be able to be in a situation where you're optimally protected.
And tonight, more than half of the country seeing a rise in cases over the last 2 weeks, including Michigan, which now has the nation's highest infection rate.
Beginning of the holidays, especially Thanksgiving, you've got a lot of situations where you might now bring people into contact who are previously isolated. If those people aren't adequately protected, especially with vaccination, that's a big problem.
Elwin Lopez joins us now from outside of a pharmacy here in New York City. This is the first weekend where all adults can get a booster shot. And Elwin, today Dr. Fauci weighed in. What are his recommendations for gathering safely this Thanksgiving?
Lindsay, Dr. Fauci says you can ditch the mask if you're around family and friends who are vaccinated, but is urging people to mask up if you're unaware of the vaccination status of those around you. Lindsay?
Elwin, thank you. Overseas now to Europe, where COVID cases are surging, increasing more than 50% in just the last month, which is why several countries are now reimposing restrictions and angry protests are erupting as a result. Police in Brussels using water cannons to disperse marchers. Demonstrators there are angry at tightened COVID measures and possible vaccine mandates. Across Europe, frustration is running high. ABC's Julia McFarlane is in London for us tonight.
Tonight, violent protests erupting across Europe against strict COVID-19 restrictions. The continent, again, the epicenter of the pandemic. In the Dutch city of Rotterdam, angry crowds seen torching police cars, burning bicycles and setting off flares. Police firing warning shots, injuring protesters, deploying water cannons, trying to quell the unrest that has been brewing for days. After the Netherlands have reimposed lockdown to try and curb spiraling cases, and now plans to introduce a vaccine passport for indoor venues. Officials say dozens of people have been arrested, several officers injured by furious crowds throwing rocks. In Belgium, police clashing with demonstrators, days after the government introduced new COVID restrictions in response to a jump in infections. It now has one of the highest rates of infections in Europe. And the Austrian government rolling out a total lockdown starting tomorrow. Austria also becoming the first country in Europe to make the vaccine mandatory to all citizens, not just health workers. From February, people who still refuse the vaccine may find themselves fined. Vaccination rates in parts of Europe have slowed in recent months. Many countries with low take-up, like Germany, Austria and Slovakia, seeing a rise in cases.
Well, the situation in Europe is likely to get worse as winter approaches. People will be mixing indoors more, especially in the run-up to Christmas, as families travel to reunite. The World Health Organization warning that unless urgent action is taken, Europe may see 500,000 more deaths by March. Lindsay?
Just astonishing numbers, Julia. Thank you. Now to the trial of the three men accused in the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. Closing arguments are scheduled to begin tomorrow. Last week, the man who fired the fatal shots, Travis McMichael, tearfully said he feared for his life during the confrontation with Arbery. His testimony challenged by the prosecution during cross-examination. ABC's Alex Prochet is following the proceedings in Brunswick, Georgia.
After more than 2 weeks of testimony, tomorrow lawyers will make their closing arguments in this case centered around race in South Georgia. The defense saying 25-year-old Ahmaud Arbery was killed during an attempted citizen's arrest under then Georgia law. That Gregory McMichael, his son Travis, and William Roddy Bryan had reasonable and probable suspicion Arbery had just committed a felony. The prosecution has accused the three of excessive force and singling Arbery out because he was black. Friday, they spent hours arguing over what specific charges will be presented to the nearly all-white jury.
Y'all have argued my brain into mush.
All three men have pleaded not guilty to murder and other charges. For 2 days, Travis McMichael took the stand, testifying he acted in self-defense during a struggle. McMichael said he feared that Arbery would overpower him and take his gun.
What did you do?
I shot.
Prosecutors argued that with his Coast Guard training and use of force, McMichael should have de-escalated the situation. Thursday, hundreds of faith leaders came from as far away as Seattle, a direct response to Roddy Bryan's attorney's attempts to limit black pastors in the courtroom. Among the crowd, hometown hero and MLB star Adam Wainwright. As this community awaits deliberations, he, like many others, are thinking about how this town will accept a verdict.
Have you started to give thought to that process?
I don't know how to react until what we see happens, but I know that I'll be here to uplift, to love and support those in the community that need help.
Alex Prochet joins us now. And Alex, we've learned that before the defense rested their case, a lawyer for one of the defendants tried to strike a deal with prosecutors. Tell us more about that.
That's right. ABC News learned that a last-minute plea deal offer from Kevin Goff, the attorney for William Roddy Bryant, was rejected by the state before each side rested. And Lindsay, Monday, closing arguments are expected to take all day, meaning that jury deliberations could begin as early as Tuesday. Lindsay.
Alex, thank you. Now to another high-profile trial, that of Kyle Rittenhouse. A Wisconsin jury acquitted the 18-year-old on all charges related to the killing of two men and wounding of another during protests last year. The verdict sparked demonstrations against the outcome in several cities. These images of protests in Chicago. Now Rittenhouse's mother is speaking out. Here's ABC's Rena Roy.
Demonstrators taking to the streets across the country this weekend, protesting the acquittal of Kyle Rittenhouse on all charges. From Kenosha,
we want justice and we're going to get it. And it starts today in Kenosha.
To New York City.
We stand with Kenosha.
And Portland.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty.
Rittenhouse shaking with emotion, collapsing when he learned his fate Friday, speaking out moments after leaving the courtroom.
The jury reached the correct verdict. Self-defense is not illegal.
Rittenhouse shot and killed Anthony Huber and Joseph Rosenbaum and wounded Gage Grosskreutz during protests in Kenosha over the police shooting of Jacob Blake last year. He testified all three shootings were in self-defense. Huber's father reacting to the jury's decision.
We're all just in shock. We did not expect this. This was just adding insult to injury.
And tonight, Rittenhouse's mother, Wendy, speaking out for the first time since the verdict was announced.
He does have remorse. Talking to him now, he would never walk down there if this ever happened again. He would never.
Lindsay, Rittenhouse's legal troubles may be far from over. He could still face civil lawsuits. Lindsay?
Rena, thank you. And there's still much more ahead on World News Tonight this Sunday. New images of the Chinese tennis star who went missing. What we're learning about her condition. And the urgent manhunt after the panic at one of America's busiest airports.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next tonight, new developments amid growing concerns over the welfare of Chinese tennis star Peng Shuai, the three-time Olympian, holding a video call with IOC officials today, but the IOC said she seemed relaxed and told them that she was safe and wanted privacy. Chinese state-run media posted images of her attending a tennis tournament this weekend. She had not been seen in nearly 3 weeks after accusing a former top Communist Party official of sexual assault and saying that they once had a consensual relationship. And tonight, a massive drug bust with investigators saying they seized an epic amount of illegal marijuana, about $500 million worth. Oregon State Police say they raided five industrial-sized warehouses and temporarily detained more than 100 people, including migrant workers living in poor conditions without running water. Investigators say the weight of all that marijuana came out to 500,000 pounds. To the index tonight, an urgent manhunt is now underway for the suspect accused of sparking chaos at Atlanta's airport at the beginning of the holiday travel rush. Passengers ran for their lives yesterday after police say Kenny Wells accidentally discharged a gun while lunging into his bag during a TSA search. Investigators say the 42-year-old then ran off with the gun and escaped from an airport exit. Despite the panic, no one was seriously hurt. Tiger Woods is coming back swinging months after he survived a violent car crash in California. The golf legend sharing a video of himself back on the course taking a practice swing. The caption reads, "Making progress." Woods has a sleeve on his right leg, which was badly injured in the crash. Finally tonight, a 10-year-old who loves to bake now rolling in dough and about to get a life-changing treatment thanks to a TikTok star and the generosity of the community. Lila McCarty loves to bake and has a passion for pigs, but her smile belies her pain. This 10-year-old suffers from a condition called complex regional pain syndrome.
It was a Sunday. All of a sudden, she just started screaming about her legs.
You just feel powerless.
For months, her parents, Heather and Derek, went to multiple doctors until they finally found an intensive treatment program at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. Then they made the painful discovery that the treatment wasn't covered by insurance.
We had friends who had said, well, let us set up a GoFundMe. And then out of the blue, I was contacted by Charlie Rocket's Dream Machine.
I think we got our next dream. Let's go to St. Louis!
Charlie Rocket is a TikTok megastar who travels the country to help make dreams come true.
You're selling cookies?
I have a little surprise for you.
Charlie and his dream machine set up a pop-up fundraising event in her hometown of St. Louis called Lila's Dream Bakery to help raise money for her treatment.
This is going to be your bakery for 24 hours on Sunday.
Thank you all for coming.
It wasn't just the cakes and cookies that brought nearly 5,000 people out to the bakery that day, but the much sweeter cause of supporting Lila.
We love you, Lila!
Combined with a GoFundMe, they've now raised more than $500,000.
We look at our kids and we know they're amazing. We think the world of them, and suddenly the world thinks the same thing.
And the cherry on top from Charlie and his dream machine, a pet pig for Lila to play with on hopefully pain-free days ahead. Love seeing those tears of joy and that smile. Thanks so much for watching. David Muir right back here tomorrow night. I'm Lindsay Davis. Have a great evening. Good night.